Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Well, good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. And boy, oh boy, do I have a treat today. Sister Mary Eucharista, a Sister of Mary, Mother of the Church, is here in the house. Hey, woo-hoo! Sister, how are you?
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm so thrilled that sometimes it takes us being in each other's presence to actually make something like this happen, huh?
I think so. I mean, usually, when we rely on phones, it doesn't work so well, even texting or emailing. So yeah, it's once true. We see each other, it's like, yes, this will happen right now.
And what is Sister talking about? What am I talking about? We were together yesterday at this beautiful event for the Immaculate Heart Retreat Center. It was a fundraising dinner, but it was really an event where folks wanted to come out and hear Father John Ricardo, and we'll have a chance to talk about that and much else. And we'll be back in a minute to do that.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com.
Hey, Sister, we're back together in this program. Would you lead us as we get started in the program with a prayer?
I would be very happy to do that, Doctor. I mean, Tom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Gracious Lord, thank you so much for this time together. We ask that you please shower us with the multiple graces that are always available and that sometimes no one ever asks for. We ask that you not only shower us, but our audience, the listeners out there, we ask that each of them find welling up within them the response to their confirmation and the blessings of their baptism. Let them know that they are indeed consecrated to the service of the Lord and that they are more powerful than any evil just by the power of their baptism. Thank you for the gift of being welcomed into your church and help us to evangelize the entire world. We ask these blessings, Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister. That was so awesome. I really appreciate that. Sister Mary Eucharista is the Director of Programs and Retreats at the Immaculate Heart Retreat Center, provides spiritual direction and a number of other ways that she is involved in helping to make the mission of the Retreat Center happen. And she is, in a certain sense, the evangelist who goes out and about and spreads the good word about the Retreat Center, which is just awesome. And again, it was so good being with you on Monday night at St. Joseph's in Otis Orchard with Bishop Daly and Father John Ricardo and their team and so many other. It was just like it was a gathering of friends, wasn't it?
I really, sometimes it reminds me of heaven because it's like you meet people you haven't seen maybe all year and they're all friends of the, all deeply involved in the church. I brought one woman to talk to Father John Ricardo yesterday who taught 60 kids a year and had never really had a lot of kudos put her way. And Father really, really just said, thank you for being an evangelizer of our children. And these people go unrecognized in our parishes every day. And I'm just so grateful for them.
You know, I was sitting across from a woman that goes to the same parish that I do. She is a daily mass goer, and so I'll see her there. But I'm the humble person, who the publican who sits in the back. She's the Pharisee who sits in the front. So we never see each other. I do sit in the back. I do sit in the back, and she does sit in the front. But
sounding a little judgy there today.
She's not the Pharisee. It was really interesting that we were sitting across from each other at table. And it was funny because it was like, hey, I recognize you, but we've never said hi. And she was one of those let's call it unacknowledged heroes of faith.
Yeah.
She was someone who spent, again, like 40 years teaching in public education as a real key volunteer at the retreat center. And yet was someone who wouldn't like necessarily put herself forward. She was just very happy to serve and serve and serve. And the woman that was with her kept like saying, "Oh, you have no idea all that she's done, all that she does, the way she's blessed so many people." And she was just like, no, stop it. Let's talk about something else. And so it was really neat to be able to connect for us to be able to meet. And all of a sudden I know a little bit more about her history. One funny story is that she looks a ton like the woman that has been very heavily involved in Sacred Heart Radio on the West Side. Her name is named Pam Gunderson. And so she still lives over there. And when I would see her, this woman at Mass, I would pray for Pam. And so it was like, "Hey, you have no idea, but you've been an inspiration for me to pray because you remind me of someone." And so I actually saw her again yesterday, and then lo and behold, we're sitting across from each other. So she learned that she was an inspiration for me to pray, even though she didn't even know me. So isn't that kind of neat, that just the connections?
Yeah. And you know, a lot of Catholics sit in the back, by the way. And the ones I always sit in the front because that's closer to the altar. And to me, it's fewer distractions. I think that Catholics typically, though, go to the back in a church. You see like the first five pews are empty and everybody's in the back, where in, I think, Protestant churches, I think they usually hedge towards the front and then leave room in the back for the people coming in. So it's an odd thing, but it's pretty consistent in every Catholic church I've been in.
I agree. I think like for me, I like it. I believe it or not, I like it because it's a more private way for me to pray.
Yeah. And a lot of people feel that way. I just close my eyes in the front. So I don't, and usually I'm pretty private because there's no one around me.
Yeah, but we're all watching you, sister.
Oh, right.
You're trying to stand out a little bit. You got these little signs that make you stand out.
You know, it kind of like all my formal wear that I wore last night is the same as the wear that I clean bathrooms in. So it's like the Lord has me always dressed in these same clothes, which I honor it because it's a sacred habit. You know that sisters kiss their habits when they take them off at night, and they kiss them when they come on in the morning. And the same with a priest will kiss his stole. So we kind of regard our habit as that that outer wear that is the habit that marks us as a community.
Wow, I love that. That's beautiful. It's like tender.
Yeah. And also it reminds us we are consecrated persons. We better be very careful how we operate during the day. If people are watching us, we better be doing what we need to do. Right.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yep. Parents, your kids are watching too. So
true. Very true.
Yeah. Sister. So the message last night, Father John Ricardo spoke, and there were other folks who got up and spoke. What would you say is a theme or a message or a quote that struck you in a fresh way, in a new way, or confirmed something that has been, let's say, strong in you right now? So, you know, Father John said a lot of beautiful stuff, but among all the things that you heard, is there a takeaway, or it could be two or three, but was there at least one thing that was like, "Yeah, that really struck me"?
Among the many takeaways that I had, I was struck by his and his team's sense of evangelization, constantly evangelizing. And when he put up four different ministries that he and Acts 29 is in charge of, and also to realize, I never realized that Acts 29 is that standout line in the Acts of the Apostles that alerts us that we are the continued mission of the church, and it continues with us. If we don't have an understanding that we are part of Scripture and that we are part of this church that is enumerated, you know, all of these events going on, we're the continuation. Wow. I mean, what are we doing to evangelize? That's why when that woman went up there and she said, yes, I teach, she was just fondly looking at Father from behind a couple of tables. And I said, do you want to meet Father? You need to meet Father. Father, this is a lady who is out there teaching so many kids, and she's a volunteer. These are volunteers. People in our parishes are unsung heroes and little saints walking around intrinsically and eternally there, intrinsically lovable, eternally. They're always going to be there, and we're going to see them in heaven, but all the people they evangelize are going to be there as well.
Amen. That's powerful. Yeah. I always thought that it was more than just clever, but it had an impact, the insight that, you know, Acts has 28 chapters, and what's Acts 29? We're Acts 29. We are that continuation of the church. That is, it's like one of those, huh? Okay. You're right. Wait a minute. You're right. And I think he ended that way too. When he put up that quote about, do you realize how much is at stake and that God has planted you in this moment in history and has given you a mission that no one else has, and that you have this beautiful privilege of being able to step into and accomplish that mission? You know, that again, it's drawing out it's not just, let's call it not just a truth, but a truth has something at stake in it. There's a goodness to the truth, and that goodness has a dramatic quality to it, right? It's not the truth of, oh, here's the sun, and let me give you the factually correct statement about the makeup of the sun and the distance from us and how much heat it's giving off. But rather, it's the truth about, for instance, proper reverence for the Eucharist. Oh, we can identify the correct way of stating the proper reverence for the Eucharist. The question is, will we live it? You talked about consecrated persons, and that, are you going to, you can go through the motion of kissing your habit, but are you expressing, are you realizing the good that's at stake in kissing the habit the way that you do it and the meaning of it, et cetera, so that same idea that there's something at stake. For me, that is a constant theme that I highlight in my own work in ministry. And maybe that's an evangelistic thing, right? That idea, the call of the moment, and the question is, will we respond to the call? So yeah, I think that that's very powerful.
And also the joy of knowing that the mercy of God is so great that in every moment He is there. He is in the real, not the ideal. When we're thinking, oh, you know, like maybe let's say you have an event that goes on and it doesn't go according to your wish, and it's not glorious and it's not all the things that you wanted it to be, but it was with love, you did it, and God was there. But your ideal, God wasn't in your ideal. God was in the real. And the fact that last night was so real and ideal, I think was really like this beautiful gift that so many people who had worked so hard, particularly Angie, our development manager, and all of the staff, not only at the retreat center, but Father's mission staff and the others who were the team, and also everybody else who was helping out, and St. Joseph's who had done everything. This is church working together. And God is always inviting us into that next moment. All our volunteers, we had 35 volunteers. Oh my goodness. You know, we can't pull something like that off without help. And they were so generous. And it was just so beautiful that people participated. It sold out. Thanks be to God. Our priests were involved. Our holy bishop showed up and you know, really promoted everything. And for Father John to come all this way, of course, he had some other things he was doing as well, but we're just so grateful that he was able to do this and that something so good could come of this. And we hope and pray that each of the moments that we're called, that we are faithful, but if we're not faithful, we can repent, and then we will be more faithful to the next one, which makes God's grace even more abundant, because yes. where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Not that it would be a sin not to take on ministry, but you have to ask, who's, if not you, then who, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and Father John embodies that so well, right? So yes. Father John Ricardo, the ministry folks is Acts 29. And if you want to find out about it, it's Acts, and then it's XX1X, you know, XXIX, XXIX, mm-hmm. right? So it's Acts29.org. to find out more about the various forms of ministry. He's also on Christ is the Answer. That's heard at 3 o'clock on Sacred Heart Radio, Christ is the Answer. And I believe it's also rebroadcast at 10 in the evening as well. So Father John has a wonderful footprint in lots of forms of social media. He has his rescue project and then these other forms of ministry. But he really does, I think he has that radiance of Christ alive in him. Christ is his answer. And so as he radiates Christ, it has the capacity to be an answer for someone else. So, sister, I want to say that what I'm going to share with you, what struck me about this message, and I'm going to let this transition us to talking about a little walk I took that we were going to talk about as well. And we'll talk about that little walk as well as we transition here in just one more minute. So, sister, here we are today on the program talking about Father John Ricardo and his evening last night, or on Monday night, sorry. And for me, do you remember that this is did you memorize the title of the presentation? The presentation was, and I'm not sure I got it right, so you can correct me. It was something like, Where the Church Meets the World Today. It was something like that, Where the Church Meets the World Today. And I just liked the title. I liked it because it did, in a certain sense, break open where he led us into the conversation, where the church meets the world. And his point was, as he built it all up, the world is really hurting. The world is no longer marked by Christendom, but it's in a post-Christian format where there's a lot of anti-Christian forces at work. And the way that we have done church in the last 50 years or longer has been priest-centric, where the congregation focuses on the committees, and then that leads to the staff, and then that focuses on the priest or the priests, and everything points towards them. And he called that inhuman and unsustainable and just not workable, and it's not going to fulfill God's call. And so he switched the arrows, right? And everything was pushed now outwards, or centripetal rather than centrifugal. So there's a centripetal force that is pushing the laity to come into contact with the world. And he left us with a very concrete way to do that. And that was, open your home and let folks come in. Let folks come close, because that's a natural entry point for them, much more than coming to worship at Mass. And so, that has been a really like big theme of mine. And I felt like that was part of what God was saying to me, was to continue my own reflection on how we as the laity are intended to touch the world today. And I want to go beyond and go into a different direction than open your house to have people come in and watch a video and share conversation and food as a first step. I think there are complementary ways to do that, that maybe you're going to like touch people more from the inside out, rather than a programmatic approach, an inside out approach. And in a certain sense, it touches my journey on the Camino. And so you've asked me now a few times, Tom, what was it like? What was it like? And folks, again, if you've listened to this program for the last few months, you know that I've been talking quite a bit about the Camino and my whole journey. And so, sister, I'm going to send you 25 hours of video that you can watch. Because I'm sure you want to get all 25 hours of video to learn more about.
I will sit spellbound through the whole thing, of course.
It'll be your penance, sister, is what it's going to be. It'll give you a higher place in heaven to undergoing the 25 hours of reflections on the Camino. We are not going to do that. But
That's
instead,
hilarious.
I've got a bunch of things that I do want to reflect with you on. And it really has to do with, well, first of all, sister, I just need to know, have you ever done the Camino, or have you wanted to do the Camino? That's, again, it's
Yes.
folks, it's that 500-mile journey across northern Spain.
I have not done the Camino, but yes, I would have loved to have done that. I don't see it happening in any time soon. And I kind of have, besides Compostela, I love Our Lady and St. James, and I've always felt for St. James because he didn't see any results in his ministry. And when Our Lady brought this beautiful miracle of a statue there too, and then had the camp of stars going on and the beauty of what happened there. I do love that. If I don't make it in this world, I'll make it in the next. And people on the Camino will see this kind of a shadowy looking nun walking along and smiling and happy to maybe in company with Saint James or Our Lady. And I will hopefully make it. But also, I've always wanted to go to Fatima, to Lourdes. And Compostela, and also Greece. Greece has a very deep place in my heart, and last place, Turkey, with Ephesus, where Our Lady's home was, St. John, and made a home for Our Lady in Ephesus. And I researched pretty carefully all of the background about that, and it really is fascinating. And it would just, and plus, witnessing Turkish hospitality, I've always kind of wished I could do that too. I used to have dreams that I was a Bedouin and that I was riding my Egyptian horse across the my Egyptian Arab horse across the desert, and sand flying up behind me. But I'll do that in eternal life as well. So you'll see me.
And Ben
It'll be
Hur,
there.
I love it.
Yeah, kind of with big tassels on their reins, you
Uh-huh.
know.
That's amazing, sister. I love that. It's and boy, you do. You got all these details down about the way, walking the Camino. And I just wanted to share with you what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a little volleyball with you. I'm going to be a setter. So I'm going to set you. I have 13 insights into the Camino. It's a talk I gave at the men's retreat and then shared it again on the radio and on video, but I'm not going to share the 13 insights. I'm going to tee them up, but then let you reflect on them. And these were things that showed up for me in walking the way. And it was where I in the church met the world on my journey. So the first was that Jesus, John chapter 8, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we often focus on Jesus as the truth, or Jesus is the life, salvation. But we don't reflect as much on the idea that Jesus is the way. And we often just think of it as, oh, disciple means follower. And so you're walking in the way. But I had a chance on the Camino just to reflect a lot more fully on this idea that Jesus is the way. And so he leads you on the way. He's with you on the way. He approaches you on the way. He passes by you on the way. He awaits you on the way. He provides for you on the way, protects you on the way, preserves you on the way, rescues on the way, sees you through your way, and he ends your way. Well, I just and his spirit prompts you on your way. So there you go. I just said about 10 different things about Jesus being the way. Have you ever reflected on that idea that Jesus is the way? And what does that mean for you as someone who is a sister and religious following a way of life?
As I reflect on that, Tom, I think of, for some reason, Jesus has so many different statements with the I am. Yeah, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the bread of life, all reflecting, of course, back to the I am that his father proposed to Moses in the burning bush. I am who am. He is God. And to imagine that when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, this has come up for me very recently, where I, in doing spiritual direction, and someone is very, very hurt about something or dealing with something. On the way, I think Jesus carries us. And that Footprints poem isn't just a like a you know, kitschy poem. It really is something I think Jesus often will carry us, because as the good shepherd, if he is the way, the truth, and the life, and he's on his way and we're on our way, but Jesus picks us up, I feel like Jesus is holding me as a lamb and I'm bleating because I got a lot going on and I got to say it. And so I bleat and bleat, and he's like stroking my wool and going, yeah, wow. And then maybe he'll polish my little hooves, or maybe he'll kiss the wool on my head, or he'll like look at my, hold me up like a little lamb and kiss my pink nose and then put me back and then just let me stay there and bleat. And Jesus is the way indeed. If we are sheep, we are going, if we are his sheep, the sheep of his flock, we are going to follow him. And it's not a problem because he's turning over rocks to show us where the grass is. He's leading us on that rocky path, and he's showing us where the treasures of grass are under the hot sun. And that's what Father Van witnessed when he was in the Holy Land. He said he kept hearing this clunk, clunk, and he realized it was the shepherd outside the hotel window clunking these sheep on the head. And he thought, this is weird. Why is he hurting those sheep like that? And then as soon as he went clunk, clunk, he saw him flip over a rock where there was grass, and the sheep were going for the grass because there was no grass other than under the rocks. So this shepherd was helping his sheep eat and finding the treasured grass. And, you know, like my friend showed me her image on her phone of Jesus holding water out to a lamb, and the lamb is drinking water, because water, lambs, sheep cannot drink from rushing water. They have to drink from restful water. And so when we're on the way, Jesus shows us where the peaceful water is so that we can be able to drink in a way that our nature is able to drink. He is careful about sheep and lambs, and he says, we are sheep. We're sheep. We run after the latest thing. We run after all these things, and he just goes after us and brings us back and says, hey, you want some really good grass? I'll turn over this rock for you. And he's constantly caring for us. So yes, the way is a huge part of it's our journey. I mean, we talk about the journey of life. What is that? It's the way. We're following Jesus.
Sister, I love what you said. It was actually very meaningful to me when you talked about when we are overwhelmed with the way things are going, he rescues us, he lifts us up, he carries us, and he has this tender expressions of his protection and provision and guidance that is so powerful. And my sense is that there are people right now who are engaged with us on this program who are in that condition. They're overwhelmed, and hearing about Jesus being a good shepherd for them it's a beautiful truth. And what I want to say is at stake in this moment is the encounter, the experience of that shepherding care. And that happens through prayer. And so, sister, I'm going to have you, if you're open to it, just following the Spirit's lead here, pray for those who are listening, who are with us right now, who are in need of a living encounter of the shepherding of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd, on their way. If you would say a prayer, and then if I feel anything as well, I'll follow it with a prayer myself. But I would love for you to let this program be a place of ministering encounter with the Good Shepherd.
I would be happy to do that, Tom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Good Shepherd, Jesus, you're looking into our eyes right now. We're your little sheep, and we're looking at you, and your gaze is penetrating our hurting little eyes. And I ask you at this time, Lord, pick up that lamb that is hurting and hold her so close to your chest and kiss her little woolly head and take her little ears and just rub them a little bit and then just look at her face and let her bleat. And then maybe another lamb is there too. And this little lamb maybe is at the end of his rope in the sense of so many things wearing him down, so many things crowding his schedule, so many expectations, maybe feeling lost about his marriage or his family. I ask you, Lord, to care for these beautiful lambs, these wonderful members of your flock, and kiss them and hold them and love them. Maybe sit down and let them just rest against your chest. And if you would please fill their hearts, the heart of every listener right now, with your overflowing abundance of love. The abundance is like a fire hose right now coming into our mouths. We can't hold it all. So like little sheep who cannot drink from rushing waters, we ask you to just hold that water in your hands for us and help those beautiful sheep, those beautiful lambs. They're all around you and they're all gazing right at you. And just as you looked around, Lord, and said that you felt sorry for the sheep because they are like sheep without the people. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And we have a shepherd. You gave us our shepherd, our Holy Father, the Pope. You gave us our shepherd, our dear Bishop Thomas Daly. And these shepherds minister to us with every care, Lord. You gave us our priests. You gave us our religious sisters. You gave us our generous lay people. And some of the ewes and the rams and the lambs are all in need of refreshment, Lord, light and peace. Thank you. Thank you for this encounter with you. Please kiss our little pink noses and help us so that we can continue not only through this day, but through this week, and help your little lambs all over the world, because nothing is impossible to you, Lord.
And Lord, I thank you for the gift of prayer, for this grace to be able to come before you together. And we do pray in your holy name, Jesus. And Jesus, I stand in the place of those who are the recipients of that beautiful prayer, sister, and I pray in on their behalf. And I say, yes, Jesus, come and be my good shepherd. Yes, Jesus, come and shepherd me at those points of my deepest need, the throbbing need, the pain points, the brokennesses, the places where I and we are overwhelmed by the circumstances and the situations that we're facing right now. And I say, Lord, come and lift our burdens, lift us and our burdens onto your shoulders. Lord, we do turn to you. We do turn to you and say, Lord, that you would come and receive our yoke upon yourself, and that we would take you and your yoke upon our lives, Lord, that we do seek your beautiful, tender care. We say yes. We say yes, Lord, in those places that are hard for us to receive, those places that resist receiving, those places that are rebellious and would reject your drawing close. We just say, Lord, wash over us and overcome those resistances and those places of rebellion. Lord, do a mighty work, please, despite us, as well as with us and through us, and go beyond us. But Lord, don't be held back by our resistance and rebellion and brokenness. But Lord, shine forth, break through, open us, and release us, Lord. Release us into those green pastures, into those restful waters, to be experiencing a sense of restoration and refreshment. the peace and joy that you have for us. I thank you for that, Lord. And just I thank you, Lord, again, for the inspiration to pray and the grace to pray. And Lord, now just make it happen, Lord. You make it happen. And Mother Mary, we do ask that you, along with Saint Joseph, would accompany us with your beautiful, sweet, powerful, mighty intercession, especially Mother Mary, through your Immaculate Heart. We just ask for these beautiful, sweet prayers. And Saint James, pray for us as well. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen.
The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com. Okay, back to Sound Insight.
I love that, sister, huh? Isn't that cool?
Thank you. Yes. Yes.
Well, and you know, when I think about it, it's like, okay, this is in a certain sense, a just an example of our life of faith, right? Our life of faith says we don't, you know, walk through the world and God is at a distance, kind of watching over or busy about many things, but not really busy about us. No, the Lord is like right here, immersed right in the midst of conversations, and can even conversations about him can leave him on the sidelines. Instead of saying, Lord, we want you to be at the origin of the conversation. We want you to be the goal of the conversation. And we want you to be the way in the conversation and breaking through this conversation to shine forth what it is you will that, guess what, is beyond our thinking, not part of our thinking, and yet can inform and shape what happens right here and now, and even break us open to pray. And you know, sister, this wasn't on our agenda. And I'm
what
guessing,
agenda?
I know. And then the words of your prayer were, you know, you weren't reading a prayer. You were reading off of the heart, your heart, and what the Lord was prompting in you. And as you were praying, it got prompted in me to pray in the place of those who were the recipients. And you know, all of that is just sort of it's a manifestation of the living God at work in the moment. That, for me, that's Jesus being the way.
Now, abundant. And he changes the way sometimes. The way that we think we're going to go isn't Jesus's way, but unless we're open to it, we can kind of like persist in resisting his way, but because we think it's going to be better. And that's why he's looking at us and just saying, oh yeah, come on over here, my little lambie. I'm going to help you get back on the way, but not resisting, not allowing us. He invites us back. That's the joy of God. He never forces his way on us. And if we say, Lord, I'm open to you, and then we go our own way, then sometimes he'll say, the way is over here. And that's where, you know, he's flipping over that rock. So the grass is under there. And then, of course, we're attracted back because we're sheep. We're just running back and forth and not really understanding the way, because Jesus is, our eyes aren't on him. But when our eyes are back on him, and he gets it, he doesn't blame us. He holds no grudges.
You know, sister, it's funny. I'm talking with Sister Mary Eucharista. She's from the Immaculate Heart Retreat Center. She's the Sister of Mary, Mother of the Church. IHRC.net. IHRC.net is the Immaculate Heart Retreat Center website where you can learn about events, days of prayer, spiritual direction, upcoming retreats, so many other amazing things that are happening. And we got to be together on Monday night at this beautiful event with Father John Ricardo that was raising funds for the important work of the Immaculate Heart Retreat Center that also involved, I don't know, probably at least 7 or 8 priests, and Bishop Daly was there as well. So a beautiful event being together. Now, sister, I talked about, I've got these 13 points describing the Camino, and we've talked about the first one. There you go. Sister?
Oh, Tom.
This is welcome to our world.
Yes.
So we're going to
never
going,
pack
though.
It all in. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Well, I'm going to watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to kind of whisk us through the second and the third, because the second is about your life on earth as a pilgrimage. And that means heaven's our home. So we've already talked about that. I'm going to skip that one.
The
then.
Way. Got
and
it.
We could talk more about it. And the third one is there's something at stake in how you live your life today, which we just got to experience. There was something at stake in our conversation that we weren't even aware of, but we were open to it. And look what happened.
Yeah.
The Lord moved in this prayer, and that'll be the same for everyone. But I want to talk about the fourth one, and that life involves inflection points. Life involves inflection points. And I'm going to move into that one, because that was what I experienced on the Camino. It's like, oh, why are you here? Oh, and it was, I'm retiring, empty nester. There was some disruptive event in my life. It was, you know, a divorce or a death, some significant shift, or I have this, I'm between jobs. And so I've got this window of time. So there was the concept of an inflection point was a big deal for so many people who were walking the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about that as a moment of opportunity. It's a moment of, and that's what it was for me, right? Going on the Camino wasn't a demand. It didn't feel like an interior imperative. It was an offered grace. It was a graced opportunity from the Lord. And I had to say yes to it. And Kerry had to say yes to it so that we could actually make this happen. And I'm very grateful for her yes. But that idea of an inflection point being even decisive in shifting a direction that someone goes on. Do you have anything to say about that, being at a retreat center, that maybe inflection points come in the form of people finding their own Camino? That's what I want to say. That's kind of an overarching theme of mine, is that not everyone's going to be able to do what I did and go for 35 days, but everybody can pray for the opportunity to say yes to an inflection point that can open up an entirely new way to live. What do you think about that?
Well, I had never heard of an inflection point, but I'm understanding it as a shift, like you mentioned, in a person's life, which happen occasionally, and they're not always pleasant shifts. They're, you know, like you mentioned, a divorce or a job change. You know, these are some of the areas of intense stress. There's five major intense stresses that can happen in an adult's life that make it, you know, loss of a home, let's say a home burning down, loss of family members through death, loss or separation of some sort, some kind of, you know, just division in the home, perhaps, loss of a job, loss of a culture, perhaps, and basically just being on your own. There's an actual fifth one, which isn't coming to my mind right now, but oftentimes we will have someone just call and say, sister, I need to make a retreat. I don't care how many days, put me down from this start, this date, and then I'm in crisis right now. And I was thinking of the Camino as a kind of retreat, because you're on in your own space, even though you're walking, but walking has a monotony to it that is very good. Sometimes I can pray better when I'm walking, and sometimes I'll get permission to pray my rosary walking rather than in the group. But sometimes the group, you know, it was, you know, we were supposed to pray the rosary on our own that day. And I'll find that walking is even more, it's like seeing God's creation, being able to participate in that creation and feel things, see things, smell things, even taste the air. There's things that one can do in a walking mode that can also be done in complete silence in a protected chapel where the retreat center provides, you know, that isolation to be able to let God speak in a way that cannot be utilized in your home or even in your parish church. So I think that retreat is actually that which God calls us to. And he says, come away with me to a desert place. Now that is a journey. That is the way. And it's also Jesus' personal invitation. And it's very rare that a diocese has a retreat center that is available to people. Usually you have to go to a hotel or maybe to a Protestant run, event or something that is, Catholic dioceses do not, as a rule, have a retreat center. This retreat center has been here, and I'm not just tooting the horn for the retreat center. I'm saying in general, this has been here for 65 years. This is an undiscovered treasure in our city and in our diocese. And it's something that you can come anytime and take a retreat and be on a journey where God is ministering to you and that close encounter occurs, and where Jesus is not just in a moment, but through the entire thing. People have come in, as Rick likes to note, that when people come into the retreat center, they are sometimes kind of war-torn. Some of them are shattered. Some of them are
heavily burdened. Just,
yes, they are. And they're so in need of just, get me to a room. I just need to lie down. I just need to, they need to be tended to. They need food. They need nourishment. They need quiet. They need rest. And they need to be at the throne of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Right there, we have the Blessed Sacrament in two chapels. And even have, like, when I have private retreatants come, and I'll always ask them, would you like to have the exposed Blessed Sacrament for your retreat? Because we can provide that for you. We have a chaplain here who can hear confessions, be there, for reconciliation, celebrates Mass, brings us healing of the sick if necessary. There's anything that you need spiritually, pretty much can be provided, spiritual direction right here at Immaculate Heart. And it's something where we provide, Jesus is asking us to provide for the sheep of his flock. We are the assistant to the parishes, and we are there to nourish the sheep. And especially when sheep are, that the Good Shepherd has rescued them from the brambles and chunks of their wool has been torn out and maybe they're bleeding a little bit. And Jesus is holding them and saying, come on, honey, I'm going to get you back to a safe place, a haven where you can rest, you can be nourished, and you can have sustenance to carry you for the rest of the journey after this encounter with me, Jesus.
Amen. I love that. Sister, it's like I wasn't really even thinking that we were going to, again, talk about this. I love how the Lord is leading us in this conversation. I'm talking with Sister Mary Eucharista. Again, she directs programs and retreats, days of reflections, spiritual direction, and so many other wonderful things happening at the Immaculate Heart Retreat Center. The idea of a retreat can be, in a certain sense, a mini Camino, right? A mini getting off of the typical way, off of the conveyor belt, right, or the treadmill, and getting into a different place. I liked how you said it, Sister, that I can pray at home. I can, get up early in the morning and sit in my little prayer spot and have my quiet prayer. But when I go out, you talked about going outside, that was definitely what I experienced, that I could pray in silence and in solitude in my walking. And yet at the same time, the idea of going to a deserted place, come out into the desert and I'll speak to your heart, right? In Hosea chapter 2, that beautiful, and then the call of Jesus, how many times calling the apostles, come away to a deserted place for a while and rest, that retreat, that stepping apart can be a place of inflection, right? It doesn't just have to be when things are bad, right? When things are broken. In fact, I The inflection point for me in my journey was the 30th wedding anniversary that Carrie and I had just celebrated a couple of weeks before I left. And this journey for me, walking the Camino, was about the inflection point of, well, we've been married 30 years. We're getting to this next stage in our kids being at home. Now our kids are headed towards marriage and grandkids. Well, how do I want to live in the time that remains? How do I want to spend my life in accord with God's purpose and plan for my life in the time that I have, while I still have energy and health and the fullness of my mental powers, which my kids will question, but you know, what a great point, what a great inflection point. And I think a lot of listeners are at that inflection point. Like, how do I want to spend the time that remains? That is a huge inflection point. And coming on retreat can be a getting away from the things that distract us. And it can be what I call a gracious disruption of our existing way of living to open us to something new coming from the Lord.
And every moment is new coming from the Lord. But also it's where, you know, Monsignor Rossage, who founded the retreat center under Bishop Topol, said that a retreat time should be something of a vacation away so that you can rest, find rest. But also he said that a retreat should be made at least once a year for any Catholic. And many Catholics have never taken a retreat. And I invite them right now to consider that this might be something valuable, either one that's already, you know, it's got all the accoutrements attached, you know, the person directing the retreat and all that, but, or just a quiet one. For me, quiet really does it. But, you know, you can also bring inspiration.
Now, hold on, sister. You just said, for you, quiet does it, Sister Mary Eucharista, and quiet? This seems like oil and water.
No, I need quiet. I thrive in quiet. I mean, I'm social. Of course I'm social, but I'm an extrovert. What do you do? But I need my quiet time. If I don't have quiet, and especially meditation before the exposed Blessed Sacrament, that's where my most treasured time of the day is. And it's the one where I feel most, the least lonely. I've never felt lonely, really. And the least alone, I'll say, is with Jesus, just with him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, this is, he's our fullness. He's the completion.
Well, and again, sister, I think that what you just shared there is so important, because I want to say this, the majority of folks that are listening to us right now or are joining us here, they're not driving God out of their lives. God, I reject you. I refuse you. Shake my fist at heaven. They're not driving God out, but they're often crowding God out. And that's a paraphrase from Archbishop Fulton Sheen, right? Where we often will crowd the Lord out just by our own busyness. And you talk about being social and an extrovert and busy, but yet it's your prayer that is your anchor, is your ground. And when you get that right, then everything else flows. But if you miss that, you're cutting yourself off from the source of living water. So we just have a minute left, sister. So I'm going to give you a chance just to share a final word of encouragement to folks who maybe are struggling with crowding God out.
You know, I think if you were to sit for a minute and just be still, it's amazing to me how 1 minute can be expanded. And the joy of that minute is that God is in it. And it kind of rhymes. So find a minute. God is in it, because God is in the real right now, the present moment. Father Chaminade called this the sacrament of the present moment. And if you feel like you need an encounter, which sometimes we don't even feel the need, but this is a blessing to encounter God in a single minute of the day. It might be your most blessed time of the day. So just to consider that, and remember, Mass is the fountain of grace. So hopefully you can get there too.
Amen. That's Sister Mary Eucharista joining me today. Sister, thank you so much. I can't believe how fast the time goes by, but what a joy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a joy for me as well, Tom. God bless you.